GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. Everyone's favorite veterinarian, Dr. David Cloutier, back behind the bulletproof glass in spacious Studio 7A. Happy New Year to you, Doc.
Yeah, it's a new year. Welcome. Wow. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you here, Doc.
We got questions already coming in.
Oh, that's good.
We got a question for you about what's going on in Bath, but you guys are talking about horses and what not to do. And what are you guys talking about in there?
We're just talking about the internet doctor.
The question I raised with the good doctor here was personal. It's just personal with me. If I want medical advice, the last place I would ever go would be to a social site. I see people doing all the time. I've got this problem. What do you think I should do? My answer is go see your damn doctor. And I was wondering, in the veterinary business, people are good natured. And do you have to deal with people who want to give out advice to other pet owners, but they don't always get it right?
Well, and we even deal with it sometimes on the air here when a caller will call in, and they're good natured and they really want to help another caller, but their advice that they're giving may not really be applicable in that case. And I think that's one of the things we say a lot to our clients when they find information on the internet. It's not necessarily that that information is wrong, but it may not be applicable to your pet's condition. So if we try to apply something that will cure one thing to something else, it may make it worse. So that's the key, and that's where your medical professional is going to help you sift through that information and say, is this applicable and appropriate for my pet? So I don't mind when people bring the information in, and it's just easier when that client has an open mind and says, hey, I found this, what do you think? We talk for a minute. If it's helpful, we use it. If it's not, we set it aside and we move on. It's when we spend the whole visit arguing about is this right or not, we both waste each other's time. So as quick as we can, we say, yes, this is useful, let's follow it, or no, it's not, let's set it aside and keep moving.
Heaven forbid you've ever had a case where someone took their medical needs into their own hands for their cat, dog, or cockatoo, and then came to you. It's like when all of us, and everyone's done it, you try to cut your own hair, and then you end up going to see the beautician anyway. But heaven forbid someone went down that path and then had to come to you to say, well, you know, I figured ibuprofen worked for me. I just gave it to the cat, and now he's awfully listless.
Yeah.
That's always bad. Did that ever happen?
Oh, yeah. So one of my absolute heartbreaking cases was a cat that we got through a very difficult trauma. Owner took it home, said, gee, I felt like he was in pain, so I gave him some Tylenol. And ultimately, we almost lost that cat from liver failure from the Tylenol that he got when he went home. It's like, geez, you know, they just weren't thinking. They were applying their human knowledge to their cat. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes it turns out badly, and I feel bad for the owners when they do that.
In my other life, in my former life, I, as an administrator, I ran into a lot of people who were using medicine that were intended for animals and using it on themselves. Do you run into the situation where people give their animals medicine intended for humans?
Oh, certainly.
And they should not do that.
And I know in your old days, you're talking about the DMSO that every trainer wanted elbow.
I dealt with that for sure.
So when I did large animal, yeah, I think my horse needs some DMSO. And we always were a little careful about that. But it's true. Many of the medications are appropriate to and are used in multiple species, and sometimes at a very, very different dose, not just because your cat's 10 pounds and you might be 200, but also sometimes their actual dosing is different per pound. So getting the appropriate advice on that is always wise.
Okay, you got messages coming in.
Ooh, let's do them.
You took a breath, George. I heard you.
Well, I was just going to say, and I'll leave the conversation. I was privileged once to visit a major racetrack in the country, and it was a thoroughbred racetrack, and I visited with the doctor and the veterinarian, and their problem was that in order to lose weight, the jocks, who have to be very small, were taking equine medicine, and they were dying. It's a dangerous thing to be doing, to be taking medicine intended for some other.
Oh, but purpose. I'm healthy as a horse, doctor.
Well, yeah, that healthy as a horse thing.
So I can use horse medication, apparently.
Yeah.
Tom, the wheelchair driver, writes in to us, my cat, the Duke of Earl, is on science diet, perfect weight, because when we adopted him, Duke was 17 pounds. What would you suggest to help aid in weight loss for him? He is 6 years old.
So for the Duke, of course, we have to have some, you know, food that's fitting of his position, I think. But but Science Diet would be a very good choice. And the reason I say that, it's a company that does a significant amount of nutritional research in trying to figure out how to feed pets appropriately and even diet them appropriately, because cats in particular are tricky to have loose weight, and we need to be cautious, because if cats stop eating, they put their liver into a situation where they actually can go into liver failure. So we're real cautious about dieting cats. I would trust Science Diet. They make a food called RD, which is their reducing diet. I frequently will check in with my veterinarian, because they'll have it, and talk about how much to feed. Slowly transition them from my regular Science Diet to my reducing diet, feed them that in somewhat limited amounts. We also do this little thing. We talked about hiding little amounts of food around so my cats have to hunt for it. And so they're eating a little bit frequently. And maybe we can get the Duke to lose a couple.
Tom also tells us that he might get a kick out of the fact that his before we named him the Duke of Earl, his name was the Duke of Marmalade. Okay. This person writes, my 11-year-old golden retriever has CCD, not OCD, CCD, yes. Canine cognitive dysfunction.
Yep.
He pants, paces, acts hungry all the time, and has terrible breath lately. I'm sorry. You just described my teenage son. This person writes on, is he suffering or do we let it run its course? CCD.
So canine cognitive dysfunction is very similar to Alzheimer's, senile dementia, whatever type of term we want to give it. But think in the same things. One of the medications for it was also, coincidentally, a medication for Cushing's disease. Cushing's disease and canine cognitive dysfunction oftentimes run together, and some of your dog's symptoms may be Cushing's as well. So Cushing's, if we needed to, is more treatable than canine cognitive dysfunction. So blood tests with your veterinarian can kind of differentiate, do you have Cushing's or not? If you don't, then we stick to our canine cognitive dysfunction. It's a hard disease, either one, but canine cognitive dysfunction will keep dogs up all night, nervous, panting, really affect dogs' quality of life and owners' quality of life. And we do not have a medication that just reliably treats it. Think of the memory loss units for human healthcare facilities and those individuals that are there. And we do not have a tried and true medication regime that will improve that patient's quality of life. So it's a tricky one. That's one you need a lot of help with, and my heart goes out to anyone who's struggling with that.
This person writes, hi doc, friends got a 6-month-old kitten 2 months ago, rarely to be seen. She has food, she has water, she has a litter box that's being used. How can we draw her out?
You know, some kitties just follow their instinct, and my niece came up with her dog to be tutored at the VZ Vet Clinic the other day. And as soon as that dog entered our house, our cat went into hiding, and not sure he was hanging where he was hanging out, but you could tell he was there and moving around, but we didn't see much of him. So that's their natural instinct if they're scared to go hide. So can we draw that kitten out by making sure that there's times that the house is quiet and that kitten has an opportunity to come out and interact? You know, maybe hang out where if he's hiding under the bed, I'll sit on the floor there and read a book and just have it be quiet and see if he'll come out. And just giving him time and not giving him any reason to go back into hiding is always appropriate. And it'll take time, but it'll come. Yeah.
I'm trying to sort this. I have fish mocks and penicillin for fish on hand in case of an emergency. And medicine is no longer available. Emergency use only. I also have a dose chart now.
So there are some fish diseases where you treat the water in the tank, and that's about the full extent of my knowledge.
Is that like amoxicillin for fish?
No, that's what I'm wondering. And so there's a lot of that I don't know and would certainly defer to a fish veterinarian. And
is there such a thing?
And no laughing at all, because with the two young ladies, the two veterinary students from the Royal College, yes, one of their one of the two of them has a very, very strong interest in fish medicine, and aquaculture is going to feed our planet. You know, we've got three significant aquafarm adventures
coming in,
and we start talking about large numbers of fish that we want to keep healthy. We want to treat them appropriately and keep our food source safe, but also keep those fish healthy. So yes, there's definitely veterinarians who are going to specialize in fish medicine.
Amazing.
This person wants to know, what is the best, and I know this is kind of difficult sometimes. Everyone wants to know, what's the best food for my dog, my cat? This person has a puppy that's 3 months old, and they're wondering, what would be the best food to give to my young pup?
So, you know, this is getting to be a tough question, and boy, it's getting somewhat polarized, where this whole worry about, are we feeding our pets appropriately? And before, it was really just kind of a personal opinion. Some people like an all-natural food. Some wanted grain-free. Some wanted, you know, to feed raw. There was all of these different options. And as veterinarians, we could try to guide people a little, but they really wanted to follow what they believed in and what they read on the internet. And that's bad, but it's not always fact. But more recently, we've got some pretty significant proof that grain-free diets, which I think statistically about half the dogs in the country at one time were being fed, has been linked to cardiomyopathy, may be a fatal heart failure that we're seeing in young dogs. So I wouldn't take the risk. So if I was going to make any blanket statement currently, I would say do not, under any circumstances, feed grain-free. And I would not purchase pet food from a company that makes a grain-free diet, because if they're still making those grain-free diets, to me it says they're not either aware or they've just chosen to ignore.
Maybe I misunderstood. I thought you just told us that grain in the bag was bad.
So people are believing that grain is bad, but yep, a grain-free diet is a bad choice. You do not want to do that. One of our general recommendations, and many nutritionist general recommendations, any food that advertises they're free of and do not put an evil ingredient in their food, don't feed it, because that is a scare tactic. That's an advertising scheme.
Same for cats?
Same for cats. So if I'm grain-free, if I'm fish-free, if I'm
GMO?
Yeah, anything like that. If you're free of something...
Everything is GMO.
I kiddingly say free yourself of that food and don't buy it. So
do we go wet or dry?
You just turned the world upside down.
I did, but doesn't matter. For a puppy, I just feed them dry food. They'll be fine. And feed from a company that doesn't use those advertising tactics.
Okay. Follow up. The person writes to us, the person that was writing about fish penicillin was using it on themselves. You can order it online cheap, and there is a dosing chart for different human ailments.
Oh.
Really? Using fish penicillin on yourself? Well, I suppose.
Good luck.
I'm not authorized to treat people, but my general advice would be don't do that.
Okay.
I don't think that's a good choice.
You see, we just said just a moment ago that you turned the world upside down. Here's the text. Wow. I've always thought I was doing what was best by feeding grain-free. When did that change?
So as veterinarians, we always knew that there wasn't really a value to that, but we didn't realize there was a danger to it. So if there's a new diet fad, oftentimes we won't weigh in on it because it's something people want to do. And if it's not hurting their pets any, why, you know, get into a debate and try to, you know, change what someone feeds if there's no risk to their pet. But now we're certain there's a risk to their pet, so we're weighing in.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.